few weeks ago, one of the younger guys, I don't remember exactly who, gave a lesson about and mentioned prominently in their lesson Joseph, the father of Jesus. And so we want to take a look at him a little bit today. We really don't know much about Joseph from the Bible. There's not a lot given to us. He is prominently mentioned in the story of Jesus' birth. So let's turn over to Matthew chapter 1, where we're going to read verses 18 through 25. It says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child by the Holy Spirit. And Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man and not wanting to disgrace her, planned to send her away secretly. But when he had considered this, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, 'Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child who has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins.' Now all this took place to fulfill that which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, 'Behold, the virgin shall be with a child, and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel,' which translated means 'God with us.' And Joseph awoke from his sleep and did as the angel of the Lord commanded him and took Mary as his wife, but kept her a virgin until she had given birth to a son. And he called his name Jesus." And so we see in one of the early mentions of Joseph in the biblical account that we see a couple of things about him. He is faced with a very unique situation, as no one else in the world was ever faced with that situation, that the woman that he was betrothed to ended up pregnant even though she was a virgin. And the child was, of course, by the Holy Spirit. And we see that even before the angel appeared to Joseph, it says he was a righteous man and not wanting to disgrace her, planned to send her away secretly. He was already kind of trying to figure out a way. And I don't think it's to help him. I think it's to help. There's a lot of different ways that he could have gotten out of this situation and left Mary in a very bad situation. But he was trying to figure out a way to do this in a manner that would save her and the child from disgrace, which I think is important. And then, of course, we see that after the angel comes to him, that he immediately, that he doesn't question this. He doesn't wonder whether this is the right thing or is this angel truly coming from God. You know, it says it just happened in a dream. How often do we have dreams and we wake up and think, boy, that was just a dream? But Joseph doesn't have any of those reactions, but it says that he awoke from his sleep and did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. We see, if we look over at Luke's account, we'll kind of bounce back and forth between Matthew and Luke today, as these are really the only places that Joseph is mentioned. If we go to Luke chapter 2, and let's look at verses 11 and 12. Matthew chapter 2. I'm going to jump to Luke too quick. Back to Matthew. If we go over to chapter 2 and look at verses 11 and 12, it says, "After coming..." I'm still not right. Wrote too closely together, and I don't see as well as I used to. It is Luke chapter 2. Verses 1 through 7 is what we want to look at. It says, "Now in those days a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that a census be taken to all the inhabited earth. And this was the first census taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone was on his way to register for the census, each to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the city of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and family of David, in order to register along with Mary, who was engaged to him and was with child. And while they were there, the days were completed for her to give birth, and she gave birth to her firstborn son, and she wrapped him in clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And so we see that Joseph took his family, went up to register for the census as they were had been instructed to do by the government, and that when they were there, of course, Mary had the child, and without any room in the inn, she had the baby in a manger. If we go back to Matthew chapter 2 now and look at verses 11 and 12, where we read, after coming into the house, and this is speaking about the Magi, the three wise men have arrived, and it says, after coming into the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother, and they fell to the ground and worshipped him. Then opening their treasures, they presented to him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned by God in a dream not to return to Herod, the Magi left for their own country by another way. And so we see that by the time the Magi had arrived, that Joseph has the family in a house, that they don't stay in the manger, and quite possibly back in their own hometown, but that Joseph has the family in a house by that particular time. Let's go back and to Luke chapter 2, where we will read about Jesus being presented at the temple. And being blessed by Simeon. And this is in Luke chapter 2. We'll begin in verse 21 and read down through verse 38. It says, and when 8 days had passed before his circumcision, his name was then called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the days for the purification according to the law of Moses were completed, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it was written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male that opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what was said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. And there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was righteous and devout, looking for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to carry out for him the custom of the law, then he took him into his arms and blessed God and said, now, Lord, you are releasing your bondservant to depart in peace according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light of revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. And his father and mother were amazed at the things which were being said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rise of many in Israel, and for a sign to be opposed. And a sword will pierce even your own soul, to the ends that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed. And there was a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years and had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, and then as a widow to the age of 84. She had never left the temple, serving night and day with fastings and prayers. And at that very moment, she came up and began giving thanks to God and continued to speak of him to all those who were looking for the redemption of Jerusalem. And so we see from this reading that, again, Joseph and Mary were taking the child to be presented at the temple to offer a sacrifice. They were doing things exactly as they were supposed to do from the custom of their people, but also via their religious instruction at the time. We also notice that Joseph was poor here from the sacrifice. The sacrifice that's mentioned in verse 24, a sacrifice of birds, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons, was a sacrifice that was for the poor. So we know that Joseph doesn't come from a lot of money. In fact, we know from other places in the Bible that Joseph was a carpenter from a small town because of Jesus being called the son of a carpenter from the town of Nazareth. And then let's go back to Matthew chapter 2 and look at verses 13 and 14, which follow the visit from the Magi that we read about before. Matthew chapter 2, verses 13 and 14 says, "Now when they had gone, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, 'Get up, take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt and remain there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to destroy him.' So Joseph got up and took the child and his mother while it was still night, and he left for Egypt." And again, we have Joseph being told to do something that's pretty radical, something that not everyone was doing at that time. Again, he is told in a dream, an angel of the Lord appearing to him just like before. But again, Joseph follows through with those instructions and takes the family, and they flee to Egypt for safety, doing what he had to do as a father to protect his family. Then, of course, we have the story of the trip to Jerusalem, where when Jesus was a bit older, and of course his parents were going there at that point in time for taxes and things that they were supposed to do for their government, and of course that he was lost in the temple and found after 3 days of his parents searching for him in the temple, asking questions and discussing with the leaders of the temple things about God. Let's turn to Luke again, chapter 2, and we just want to notice a couple of verses there. Verses 39 and 40 say, "When they had performed everything according to the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own city of Nazareth. And the child continued to grow and become strong, increasing in wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him." And then we'll look at verses 51 and 52 that say, "And he went down with them and came to Nazareth, and he continued in subjection to them. And his mother treasured all these things in her heart, and Jesus kept increasing in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man." So we see that Jesus kept growing in stature and in wisdom, in favor with God and men, and of course remained in subjection to his parents at that particular time. With the exception of these things that we've mentioned or read about this morning, there's only about the only other information that we have about Joseph, the father, earthly father, adoptive father, I would suppose we would say, about Joseph comes from the genealogies of Jesus. And those are the last things, I think, that we want to look at today. So let's turn to Matthew chapter 1. And we'll read verses 1 through 16, which is the genealogy of Jesus. "The record of the genealogy of Jesus, the Messiah, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham was the father of Isaac, Isaac the father of Jacob, and Jacob the father of Judah and his brothers. Judah was the father of Perez and Zahar by Tamar. Perez was the father of Hezron, and Hezron the father of Ram. Ram was the father of Amminadab, and Amminadab the father of Nashon, and Nashon the father of Salmon. And Salmon was the father of Boaz by Rahab, and Boaz was the father of Obed by Ruth, and Obed the father of Jesse. Jesse was the father of David the king. David was the father of Solomon by Bathsheba, who had been the wife of Uriah. Solomon was the father of Rehoboam, Rehoboam the father of Abijah, and Abijah the father of Asa. Asa was the father of Jehoshaphat, and Jehoshaphat the father of Joram, and Joram the father of Uzziah. Uzziah was the father of Jotham, and Jotham the father of Ahaz, and Ahaz the father of Hezekiah. Hezekiah was the father of Manasseh, and Manasseh the father of Amon, and Amon the father of Josiah. Josiah became the father of Jeconiah and his brothers at the time of the deportation to Babylon. And after the deportation to Babylon, Jeconiah became the father of Shealtiel, and Shealtiel the father of Zerubbabel. And Zerubbabel was the father of Abihud, and Abihud the father of Eliakim, and Eliakim the father of Azor. And Azor was the father of Zadok, Zadok the father of Achim, and Achim the father of Eliad. And Eliad was the father of Eleazar, Eleazar the father of Matan, and Matan the father of Jacob. And Jacob was the father of Joseph, the husband of Mary, by whom Jesus was born, who is called the Messiah." So we see there the genealogy of Jesus in this case ending with Jacob being the father of Joseph, the husband of Mary, by whom Jesus was born, who is called the Messiah. The other place we have a genealogy of Jesus recorded is in Luke chapter 3. And so in Luke chapter 3, we'll go over there and read verses 21. We'll go down to verse 23. Read verses 23 through then the end of the chapter in 38. It says, when he began his ministry, Jesus himself was about 30 years of age, being, as was supposed, the son of Joseph, the son of Eli, the son of Mattath, the son of Levi, the son of Melchi, the son of Jani, the son of Joseph, the son of Matthias, the son of Amos, the son of Nahum, the son of Helsley, the son of Nagai, the son of Maath, the son of Matthias, the son of Simeon, the son of Josheth, the son of Jodah, the son of Joanonah, the son of Resha, the son of Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, the son of Neri, the son of Melchi, the son of Adai, the son of Kosam, the son of Elmadam, the son of the son of Joshua, the son of Eleazar, the son of Joram, the son of Matath, the son of Levi, the son of Simeon, the son of Judah, the son of Joseph, the son of Jonam, the son of Eliakim, the son of Melia, the son of Menna, the son of Mattiah, the son of Nathan, the son of David, the son of Jesse, the son of Obed, the son of Boaz, the son of Salmon, the son of Nahshon, the son of Abinadab, the son of Admon, the son of Ram, the son of Hezron, the son of Perez, the son of Judah, the son of Jacob, the son of Isaac, the son of Abraham, the son of Terah, the son of Nahor, the son of Serug, the son of Reu, the son of Peleg, the son of Heber, the son of Shelah, the son of Canaan, the son of Arphax, the son of Shem, the son of Noah, the son of Lamech, the son of Methuselah, the son of Enoch, the son of Jared, the son of Mahaliel, the son of Canaan, the son of Enosh, the son of Seth, the son of Adam, the son of God. And so through all of those names, we realize a couple of things from these couple of different genealogies. Of course, the one in Luke, the genealogy is backwards, beginning then with Joseph and then taking it all the way back to Adam and the son of God. But a key element of Joseph's identity is that he was the earthly father of Jesus. And I think that's one of the big things about him. As Jesus' earthly father, Joseph gave Jesus his identity. Just like these, both of these genealogies are traced back through Joseph. In some way, shape, or form. Jesus got his earthly identity of who he was from his father, Joseph. It's like the old 1970s Jim Croce song, I've Got a Name, right? In which he says, I've got a name and I carry it with me. It's your identity. It's who you are. I think one of the most important jobs of a father, like Joseph, is to help give their children an identity, a sense of who they are, the people that they come from. And we see from these genealogies that Jesus was of the tribe of Judah. Was very important to the Israelites to know what tribe they were from. And in these two different genealogies, we see Jesus traced back to some very important people. Most importantly, of course, David, the king, King David, and then, of course, back to Abraham and Adam, and then back to, of course, God. Most importantly, Joseph gave Jesus an identity as a follower of God and raised him up in that way. Again, if we remember from Luke chapter 2 and verse 52, we read that he grew in favor with God and man, and that he was at that point in time in subjection to his parents. So his parents were raising him in that fashion. Although Joseph doesn't have much written about him in the biblical account, he leaves quite a legacy, not from himself, but through his son, Jesus. I think it's important for us to remember that as Christians, we have a name given to us through Christ. Our genealogy, everyone's genealogy traces, just like Jesus did, back to Adam and back to God at some point in time. And if we have a name of Christian given through Christ, that we need to live up to that name as well. Just like we attempt to live up to our family name, we attempt to do well by those who brought us up from the lineage of people that we come through. Very importantly, if we're Christians, we need to live up to the name of Christ and to the example that He set for us. There's a certain way to live, a certain set of expectations that we have as Christians that other people simply do not have. And we need to do our best to live up to the great name that we have as Christians. So hopefully this has given you something to think about today that can be helpful. If there's anything that we can do to help anyone today to become a Christian and to become part of a special group of people, then please let your needs be known as we stand and as we sing.